Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. I hope you got your pen and paper ready here, because this one is going to be a fast-paced look at the world that is quickly changing, this strange world of artificial intelligence that we're here all about. And we're going to talk to an expert today who's going to try and enlighten us and get us to open our eyes to some of the possibilities of using this new technology in new ways we probably haven't even thought of. So let's bring on, without further ado, Michelle, is it Chuang? Did I say that correctly?
Exactly. Very well, Paul.
Thank okay. you. And just give us a 60-second summary. You've done some impressive things. You're based in marketing and all these things we call growth strategies and all this stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to use all these platforms and ideas and technologies and try and transform your business and have it grow. You've done it for some big enterprises. I'm told Starbucks, Chevron, the Irvine Company, those are huge entities. Tell me about your first path in your first life here. How did you get into all this stuff and what did you do?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Paul, thank you very much for having me on. It's just such a pleasure to be able to share a little bit about myself. As you mentioned, I spent the last 25 years of my life in marketing. I am I have a true infinity of love for helping business connect with their target customer. And that's really what marketing is all about. As you mentioned, some of my exciting accomplishments, I helped launch a green tea frappuccino for Starbucks more than a decade ago. It continues to be my favorite beverage from the brand. I also helped launch the Extra Mile program on behalf of Chevron back then as well.
Another huge initiative. Oh, wow. Yeah, these are big deals, right?
Yeah, and that was really the path to how I paved the foundation of my marketing discipline. And it was soon after, and then also when life evolved, I joined the Urban Company to support with community planning, the build out of the mixed-use real estate portfolio that it has. And within the past couple few years, I just started to get really drawn into supporting brands and businesses with purpose. Mm-hmm. And where better to join than the SBDC by working with hundreds and thousands of small businesses within our local community, and to help them establish, watch them grow, and continue to create and build and strengthen our relationship with them. So I always tell people that I am finally home here as a consultant at the SBDC.
Now, you still have your own private practice, right?
I do, yes.
And so you still work with some big brands and big projects, but you've got this other side gig, as do I, as do many other people that come on this show. For some, it's a full-time thing, but for most of we're fully employed somewhere else, and then this we do part-time. Again, why do you do it? It's a whole different thing working with mom and pop Main Street America, which isn't all the SBDC does, but they do a lot of that. Totally different working with that crowd of people than with Chevron or Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think working for big brands certainly has its benefits. Stability or the budget, very directly, the budget, a marketing budget to be one. But I do think working with small businesses on a personal level, it gives that dynamic challenge. When you have that dynamic challenge, you get the dynamic and the fulfillment behind it. Mm-hmm. There's no better sensation than watching a small business owner with their eyes open up and with the light bulb going off.
Saying,
I got it. I got how I go about integrating my financial together with marketing strategies. And it's almost like you're pairing the numbers with the art. And the juxtaposition that comes in.
That's an interesting way to put it, because for 20 years I was in public relations. I handled entertainers and celebrities and big brands. And then I morphed into my own business and I discovered this podcasting thing, because I'd been on real radio as well along the way. And now I'm working in this new field. The same journey that you have. You worked in some big things and now you're bringing it down to more Main Street things. One of the things that I think, and that's what we'll probably talk about here, is your fascination, your interest in artificial intelligence. How did that come about? How did you discover, how did you dive into this topic and become so well-versed on it?
I think, first of all, I have always been a student of life. I'm always someone who wants to chase after things that I don't already know about, mm-hmm. because I really passionately believe, and I'm very blessed to have worked with many mentors and leaders who actually mirrors and the same philosophy. I'm always like, I was the first marketer to adopt data intelligence because I just hungrily need information and number to fuel my marketing.
And I'm going
to
hold my hand up for, I remember back in the day when there wasn't a lot of data intelligence. Yeah. It was sticking your finger in the air. It was a gut feeling, or it was just focus groups and a lot of anecdotal evidence that you somehow summarized and said, I guess we're going in the right direction. Yeah,
exactly. 20 years ago when I helped launch the Green Tea Frappuccino, I remember saying a little prayer by myself, hoping that the sales, the
opening
weekend sales will exceed projection. Exactly. Yeah. But today we have all kinds of data platform to help inform us of that. And then making sure that we're continuing to refine the strategy to achieve that. You're absolutely right, Paul.
And you mentioned before, that's why I mentioned it again. There was a time when marketing, I love watching the series Mad Men about an ad agency. Marketing used to be just advertising pretty much. And then there was public relations, which I did, maybe trying to get stories in the newspaper and other things. And then promotions, and maybe it's in store. And there was only two or three things you could do to market yourself. You ran an ad, you got somebody write your story, or you did some kind of promotion or event or whatever, or sponsored something here. Now, you've got multiple channels, lots of things to do, lots of ways. Is it more confusing today than it's ever been? Because that's my impression.
Mm-hmm.
There's more potential. Again, yeah. It's the worst of times. It's the best of times. On the one hand, I'm not restricted to, I don't have to buy big ads on big outlets for big bucks. I can do guerrilla campaigns. I can get found. I can do other sorts of things through the internet, through social media and whatnot that may not cost much of anything, but it'd take a lot of effort to do these things. Yeah. On the other hand, I don't know that there's one clear path anymore. You used to buy the local newspaper. You used to buy the local radio station. And that was it. Somebody told me once, it used to be a number. If you wanted to launch a brand, big or small, there was a number, and you knew what you had to do. Now, what's the number? Because there's a million channels and a million ways to go. Is it more confusing? I think it is. I don't know what I'd be curious your thoughts here.
Yeah, Paul, I think you're absolutely spot on. And especially for the community that we serve here at SBCC for small businesses.
Right.
20 years ago, if you want to launch a product, you place an ad in the LA Times. You try to find the best location in the shopping center, and then foot traffic will come. In today's world, if someone is not familiar with the digital marketing channels, they probably do find it very confusing because everything seems to be very convoluted. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that because we are in this digital world that we live in, marketing has become clear and even more impactful. Now, there's a key difference between ways to drive impact, because 20 years ago, when you placed an ad in LA Times, it was very simple. You do one thing, 8 million people see
and you put a coupon in, you see how many came back, or you counted the returns or any of this stuff. You put a billboard up, you put yellow pages. Oh, didn't we love the yellow? You bought it once, and then all year long it fed you leads.
Exactly. And that's really how people calculate it. If 8 million people saw your ad, theoretically 80,000 people would at least come through your door. But in today's world, you have different strategies. And that's also the importance of marketing in today's world. It's about the connectivity, the integration, the synergy amongst all of the platforms.
Completely, because now I can still put an ad in a newspaper or wherever, or online or something. And then people don't just call me. They go check out my website. They go check out my reviews. They go check out my social media, my podcast, my YouTube, all this other stuff. And if they don't like what they see, they don't call. And even with referrals, I say this all the time. People say, I'm a referral business. Okay, great. We all want to be at that place. But if I tell you, boy, I got the best coffee shop in the world, go check it out, and you're checking it out is to go online, not to drive in and see it, you might not get the same experience I did. You may not believe that doctor I recommended to you really is that good, because they don't look that good online. They don't have that great of reviews. They don't have a great of site. They don't have that much content or info there. So, yes, it's more than ever you've got to integrate. It's not just call and response. Ad, they come. Ad, they call. There's something in between called the internet that everybody uses to explore this stuff, and it's filled with ideas and information and stuff that you have to be all over, I think, or you're not going to, you might get found, but they might not call you or come in your door.
Exactly. That integrated marketing strategy is essential. It's not just a nice to have anymore.
Yes.
It's essential to drive the success for small businesses.
All right. So Now we've added another complex layer to this. I can't just buy an ad and then wait for the coupons to come. I can't just buy an ad and wait for the calls, the phone to start ringing here or people to start walking in the door. The ad maybe is driving them to the internet, and that's where they're doing their own sniff test, as I call it. They're smelling around to see if this is the right fit and the right one they should call. And all this stuff has to get integrated. How does AI, does that add another complexity to it? Or is AI a solution that can help me tackle all these different channels, write the right headlines, write the content, research, do so? Let's talk about AI. Is AI another tool that just makes it more difficult? Or is AI potentially a game changer for small business? For small businesses, especially where I'm stretched, I don't have enough people, I don't have enough budget, I don't have enough expertise.
Yeah, I think the direct answer to that is yes, AI is going to be a game changer, if not already a game changer for small businesses, and not just in the way that they market themselves, but the way that they operate, that the way that they're looking to grow. I think a lot of people do feel very anxious about AI because similarly to how bankers hated the ATM when they were introduced.
Interesting. Yeah, and, okay. Right. And automated banking. We don't want a robot doing this.
It's all about the relationship back then, right? Why would bank teller not want to have customers in front of them rather than in front of a machine? But we all saw the success of ATM. And to say mobile banking has certainly taken over the ATM experience as well. So as our work continues
That's to evolve, a great analogy, by the way. I've never heard that analogy, but I'm old enough to remember. I remember when ATMs first came out and we were all excited and we were hesitant to use it. We didn't understand how to use it and they had to come out and show you how to do the pin pads and all this stuff. Now, I never go to the bank. I just go to the ATM. Or now, as you said, I go online. That's the new ATM machine on my phone here.
Exactly. And that's why I think I have also read in, I think, a blog on Hacker Authority that the world anticipated that we're going to be losing probably around 8 million some jobs to AI. However, we're also adding 9 million jobs. So I think whether that anticipation or that estimation or forecast is going to pan out completely to be true, we'll only be able to tell in the future. But also keeping in mind of the people who are anxious about AI taking over their business, taking over their job, you also have to remember there will be other opportunity that will come along. People who are prompting AI, people who are developing more automation.
We've hit one of the things, and I don't know if this is just me because I'm a cranky old guy and things change every time I turn around. There's a new technology, there's a new tool, there's a new channel. And yet, I'm excited at the possibility of the things I can do with AI. Why am I also frightened of it? So many people are frightened of this thing. It seems intimidating. It seems the robots are going to take over. The robots are going to do this. We're going to talk to robots. We're already talking to robots, whether it's your home assistant through Google or whatever, or on your phone, Siri.
Yeah. Alexa,
all these things.
Alexa. Absolutely.
I don't want to say the A word because mine will go off in the studio here if I say her name.
I think it's inevitable. This is why I said it's not about if we use AI. If we have AI that is fueling our business, it's when we are actually adopting that. And because on a daily basis, we are all using AI. If you're on the internet, you're using AI. Google's feeding you what you're searching for. Facebook is
based on a robot that's reading your patterns and what you're looking for and trying to guess and anticipate. Maybe you want this, maybe you want this. They're trying to, and then they're analyzing your data and sending it to marketers, whether we like this or not. And they're tracking what we're doing and trying to adapt and give you a better response and a better experience and more likely to buy what you're going to.
And Paul, compare that to your experience as when you were flipping through the LA Times. How many sections of LA Times do you actually toss out if someone is a true sports enthusiast and only goes for a sports section?
Yeah,
now, that sports enthusiast, when they're on the internet, they're only fed information that are about sports, and which makes their time even more efficient. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that the benefit outweighs the disadvantage. But the truth is, we need to recognize what those disadvantages are and recognizing how we go about implementing a solution for
that. Let's jump in and talk about this. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show here. You've opened the door on a topic we could spend hours about beforehand. And I suggest contacting her because she has a lot of detailed thoughts, a lot of detailed analysis. I think you put on webinars and seminars and other things on this stuff. We're just going to really quickly get some highlights and tease people, think maybe this isn't so bad, or maybe there's finally somebody that can explain this to me here. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the disadvantages first, and then we'll end with the advantages. So is there a disadvantage to AI? Clearly, it's going to replace humans. And that drives us crazy a little bit here when I'm talking to a robot and start talking to a human here.
Mm-hmm. Replaces humans, but there will also be advantages that humans will come back into creating more deeper relationships, such as you'll probably speak to a chatbot to more succinctly organize your question, and then they'll get a specialist.
Right.
So that in the past, for example, rather than you speak to five different reps and trying to troubleshoot an order issue, now you have a chatbot that organizes your question and then gets you to the specialist that solves your problem.
The people aren't available 24/7, and the robot is, and the robot doesn't get sick, and the robot can redirect you and quickly pull up information and other sorts of things that humans can't find that quickly here.
Exactly. I think one of the key major, I will call out two major disadvantages as we are currently seeing right now. One is bias. There is a term called AI bias. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence could be biased based on the information that's currently feeding the machine right now. So but given the bias, I think it's really important that as we live in a society where we're trying to drive equitable relationships, mm-hmm. I think that's really important for human beings to be very mindful of that, especially when it comes to marketing. And then as you're creating content, you're creating a strategy. You want to be equitable that you're thinking holistically integrated.
In other words, you don't want ads and campaigns that all look like me in the ad here, a bunch of old guys in this thing here. We want to spread it out. We want to see other people in these things, because when you see yourself, you're more likely to say, that's for me. Oh, that's not for me. White guy here.
You want Paul and Michelle to be together in your ad if you're trying to serve a broader community.
Right.
Yeah.
And there have been some ridiculous examples of where they run tests and Google and stuff, and they've tried to say, show me, because we're trying to show a diverse group of people in these ads and these responses. Well, show me a German World War II soldiers, and they show them black and brown and purple and everything. No, that wasn't. That's not accurate.
Yeah.
So whatever, yes, there is a certain bias, but that's the old computer problem, garbage in, garbage out. If you program it wrong, it spits out the wrong data. So until they fine-tune these things and learn how to adapt them, I think we're going to have some of those examples, but that's changing rapidly here. They give you pretty good responses. I'll tell you what shocked me when I went to ChatGPT. I was a late adopter. Everybody's saying, don't go. It's real easy to use. And the better you are at refining and telling it what you want, the more adjectives you put in, the more descriptive you are, you get some amazing results back. Even if it's just writing a press release and doing it in different voices, even if it's just a data set, even if it's just some insights that you want, it's shocking how good this is. Mm-hmm. And I think the fear in my industry is it's going to replace us humans who were the hosts of the podcasts or the producers of movies or whatever, that it's going to create artificially movies, podcasts, songs, all this kind of stuff. But I don't think so. I've talked to more and more people. I think it's a tool. Yeah. It still needs somebody to drive it. It still needs some creative spark, somebody to say, how about this? And then, no, I want more of this. It still needs somebody to drive them. It's just a car. It needs, and maybe it'll drive itself someday, but for right now, it still needs somebody to drive it.
Car certainly will drive itself someday, and it is currently very much so on its way.
All over this campus, we're at UCI, there's little self-driving cars. I pull them, there's nobody in the car, and they're just testing them out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think to what you previously mentioned about AI creating a lot of those content, and that brings me into the second disadvantage, is AI currently right now is you cannot trust it completely because there's still a lot of information.
Right.
And I bring you another term, AI. In the AI world, they talk about that. The hallucination is the machine itself, like the ChatGPT of itself, the Gemini of itself, will try to pull together as much information and accurate information as possible, but they do have limits because of all of the information that's provided, sometimes contradictory.
Right.
So similarly, it may be it's not necessarily a fake news, but could be in a form of a fake news. Mm-hmm. So thus going back to your point, it's not going to be able to completely replace the person, the creator behind the press release story. It's not going to be able to replace the movie creator because the storyteller is still the holder of that creativity.
Right.
You get to decide how to intrigue and hold the attention span of your audience. And I think that's the job where every storyteller, every marketer, every publicist, everybody in this creative industry within the world of brand and marketing needs to keep in mind of.
All right. With those caveats, we're going to lose some people. It's not quite perfect yet. You still got to control it. You still got to guide it. You got to learn how to talk to it, and so that it'll spit back not nonsense, but what you're looking for. within that possibility, the robot can do things we could never do. Analyze data sets, mm-hmm. massive amounts of data that we as humans couldn't consume. But it could take, so you could, if you're Walmart, you could take the store scans from every scanner in every store in the world. What kind of data would that tell you that's mm-hmm. going on? The scanning the water supply to see what's going yeah. through it, scanning your store to see what's going through it, scanning, I don't know, billions and trillions of transactions here to see yeah. the patterns that we could never see before and to gain insights. Yeah.
I think from an analytical standpoint, really hones into where we were talking originally about the importance of an integrated marketing strategy.
Right.
But adopting AI to
you can't just do one thing anymore. You can't just buy an ad and wait for the phone to ring. The phone's exactly. got to, the ad's got to match the website. It's got to match the reviews and the social media and whatever other thing. Right. All these things are somehow interrelated and interconnected now here. Yeah.
That is why years ago, it's very difficult for a small business owner with very limited budget and time, resources to implement an integrated marketing strategy without hiring someone for it, without hiring an agency and paying
right. a strategist, somebody who can see and connect all the dots. And I used to drive me crazy when I do the few times when I did public relations with small businesses. There was no consistency to what they had. The ad is purple. The logo is red. The store is bright and high tech. The product is stressing low cost and cheap and two for one. Different messages contradicting each other here, confusing mm-hmm. the customer. You confuse them, you lose them. You need a complete, you say synergy, you need a complete, coherent, consistent message right. that you're putting out everywhere and everywhere.
And that synergy is what is transforming small businesses to be able to market themselves without being able to hire someone and pay the premium for it, because they now are able to utilize AI, but they have to keep in mind and plan for the holistic integrated strategy. And this is where their SBDC consultant really comes in very handy, because SBDC consultant in the network is filled with knowledge and real application and real life knowledge around how to grow a business, how to operate a business.
You're a perfect example of that. To think that people could talk to somebody like you for free, which is basically what they get to do when they contact the SBD Center. Go talk to the people that rolled out products for Starbucks and for Chevron and for the Irvine Company. You want that kind of strategic thinking and expertise and experience? It's available, really.
Yeah. And I have personally, in the past couple of years or so, by adopting AI together, and I'm also coaching clients through it, we have seen incredible, success through it. Like, I'll give an example.
Yeah, please.
I have an e-commerce business client that sells beauty products. And of course, the general goal is I want to grow sales. Great.
Right.
If you want to grow sales, you have to have the financial projection for it. So we started to use AI to analyze the profitability by product category, into the SKU level. How are those SKUs sold by transaction platform? Is it online? Is it through social commerce? Is it through in-store, third-party pop-up shops, as well as the seasonality? So AI is able to help us analyze all of that.
That's the kind of stuff that only Revlon could do before, a giant brand. That's not Susie's hair supplies or something here, whatever you're working with, or Susie's makeup
exactly.
or something here. They couldn't access that amount of data. They didn't know what to do with it if they got it. So is the challenge in using AI, what the instruction that we have to learn, do we have to learn to instruct it? Do we have to learn to construct these queries, these questions, so that we get the right responses? Is that the difficulty? We got to learn to talk to the robot so the robot will understand what it is we want?
In the form, yes. But I would say the importance is formulating your own path, your own strategy. You have to understand, what type of data am I trying to extract? Right. It's like reading a data analysis report. If you don't know what is it that you're looking for, by looking at a bunch of pie chart, bar chart, you're not going to make any sense out of it. But you have to know what you're looking for. For example, I want to grow my sales, so I have to understand, what are my top selling SKUs, mm-hmm. my top selling merchandise?
Right.
Where are those SKUs being loaded off from?
Right.
Who are the customers that are buying? How frequently are they buying?
The SKU I really want to sell? We had somebody on one of the shows who was talking about restaurants, a very simple example. And he goes in the restaurant, this is our special sandwich. We pack it with everything, and people love it. And they come, and the guy broke it down and said, you're losing a dollar every time you sell one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. And if that's what you want, just to bring him in the door, if that's the loss leader, you're going to take that loss just to get him to walk in. Great. But do you realize what that really costs? Have you ever priced out all the little mayo and pickles and all the things you're packing into the sandwich here? Yeah. No. And the same thing. So you think everybody wants this and I'm selling this, and then you find out, they're buying it because it's too cheap.
That's exactly right. That's why every growth strategy for clients needs to start with a financial performance review, financial projection, and then analyze into the product that you need. And AI can help you do that. And you're absolutely right about the difference between 20 years ago, only Revlon could do it. And now it's all within the fingertips of the small business owner's hand.
Right.
Now, then utilizing the analytical analysis, then you can design your marketing strategy. When you're designing your marketing strategy, you continue to use AI to generate your content, write your blog, research for your keyword, develop research for your target audience persona.
Research for your keywords. So I'll give you a classical example. Here we do, I have this thing, OC Talk Radio, and we produce podcasts. Now we do video podcasts as well. And of course, then we got to put them out on YouTube, and we don't just create it. We got to signal to the world. We got to understand how the robots are categorizing everything, what those keywords are. What terms should we put? Little hashtags should we add to this so that it's going to pop up in the right place? And we started using AI to do that. Suggest a title. Suggest hashtags. Suggest a summary of this episode. Three little simple tasks that we'd sit. I did it already here. Dash off a title and what I think is a summary and some show notes and a couple of tags. When we let the robot do it, our results went up. We got more eyeballs, more ears listening to these things, watching them, because the robot knew how to better craft a title that would get found, a summary that would get found, and the hashtags that would, because it analyzes. So, this one works, and this one, boom, and the section comes back. Don't put that tag in. Why are you always putting that tag in? Here's a better tag. Yeah. There's a real simple example. I type it in. So I could sit myself and do this all day long. Add this to anything, your ad, your website, all this stuff. You're trying to get it found. These things really know how to analyze this data quickly and come up with better results at the push of a button.
Absolutely. This is why it's so essential, because for that particular beauty product client alone, just through the process of utilizing AI in designing and implementing an integrated marketing strategy, we accomplished the analytical skill set.
Which was impossible for this person.
Exactly.
Right.
The integrated marketing execution, all of the content that we generated, and then also operational efficiency, where in the past, she wouldn't be able to do it on her own, or even she has a team of assistants, but it was something that she would have had to hire a full-service marketing agency for.
Right.
And plus, going back to the video that you were saying, AI now can also help you generate videos.
Isn't that amazing? They really can. And they can, if you want just some summary things, the AI can act in your own voice. There's some amazing tools out there. Right. The AI can edit these things for you. The AI can write content around it. The AI can give you suggested scripts and all sorts of things. Again, you're going to tweak it. You're going to modify it. You're directing it, telling it what you want. But at the same time, it's going to save you not just amount of time and amount of money, because you don't have to hire a bunch of other experts to do it.
Right.
You get better results.
Exactly. And this is why being a shameless plug of myself and here at the SBDC.
Please.
But I really do think that, like I mentioned before, AI is transforming the small business growth marketing and also growth landscape.
Yeah.
And the very important thing is, for people who are not familiar with using AI, or even if they are,
or frightened about it, or think it's not for them, it's too sophisticated, and I'm just happy doing the same old thing that I've always been doing.
Exactly.
Wake up.
And that's why SBDC Network presents such a valuable opportunity to support small businesses, because you need someone to help you see things in that holistic, comprehensive manner in order to help you design the integrated marketing strategy that connects your financial, your marketing, your operation, your sales element, all connected together, and then utilize AI to help infuse and make and push everything out to the market even quicker.
Yeah.
And speed to market is always a competitive advantage.
You're the marketing whisperer. You're the AI whisperer. You can whisper in my ear. Here's how you talk to it. Here's how you train it. Here's what you do with it. and you can teach me and show me and help me and hold my hand and walk through it. Because once I do, it's an amazing tool that I can run on my own for free or for very little cost. But somebody has to open my mind and show me the possibilities and then show me how to do this and what I can do with. In many cases, like you're saying with the woman, I'll go back to that example, she probably didn't even, never even thought of some of these things before. She's just trying to sell beauty products. This one seems like it's hot. Let's get some more of that. And she's not really analyzed. Maybe we that seems like that's a false path. Maybe if we did put a little more effort into this one, there's a better profit margin. There's a longer strategy. This fits more in with our other brands. This is just a clever little thing we can sell for today. Today we had the solar eclipse, so everybody's selling solar glasses. Yeah. If that's your whole business is built on one-off events like that, you're in trouble. You want to sustain a customer over a period of time, not just suddenly fill the need they have for something novelty today. So go get some glasses you can watch the solar eclipse here with. But we all chase that. We chase these little quick answers without looking at a big picture. And I think that's where people like you have always worked. The big brands use it. The big brands do this. If you want to grow and become a big brand, think like a big brand. Think like a big brand. And maybe AI gives you the big brain you need to do that.
Certainly. It gives you the muscle that you need or potentially the time.
Yeah. I just am excited by it, but I'm frightened by it. I guess I'm like everybody. I'm confused and I'm also amused. I'm enticed and I'm hesitant. And I don't know why I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant because I don't understand it. I'm hesitant because I don't know what to do with it. I'm hesitant because I think maybe it's not as smart as I think it is. Or am I just doing this because, I don't know, but everybody else is doing it, so I guess I got to do it. I see a lot of that.
Imagine how nervous you must have felt when you first approached the ATM at the bank.
I did.
Think about that. Yeah.
I did. For years, I wouldn't put money in it. I would only take money out. And they'd say, is there money? I said, we're not going to lose it. I don't know. I want to hand this to somebody here. I'm not sticking dollars into a machine. That sounds crazy, but I was convinced it was going to eat it or gobble it or lose it. Yeah.
And Paul, you're not the only one. I bet there are listeners that also felt the same way when mobile banking first started. Oh. They're like, why would I want to scan a check and then just call it a day? I can't do that. I have to bring my cash into the bank.
Exactly.
I have to bring my check into the bank. Otherwise, they're not going to recognize I'm making a deposit. But look at where we are at now.
Look where we're at now. Exactly. And imagine where we'll be 5 years or 10 years from now. Because again, this AI is maybe one of the most, next to personal computers, that changed everything. When you stopped using cash registers, ka-ching, and the thing popped out, and then you were trying to figure out how much money there was at the end of the day and if anybody took any or if you lost any. Now it's a computer tracking all this stuff electronically here. I think we're at that same inflection point. I think 5 years from now, we're going to view AI the same way we view the personal computer. At first, we didn't understand it. We couldn't see how to use it. It broke. It was awful and terrible, and it made the wrong things. But now we can't imagine running a business without a personal computer. I think it's going to be the same way with this AI, whatever it is, whether it's an app or a service or something here.
Yeah.
I think
so, Paul,
do
you feel less anxious after we spoke today?
A little bit. I'll tell you what I am is not. I'm less anxious because I know there's somebody I can go to for free who can walk me through this and say, come on, Paul, it's not so scary. Hey, let me show you. How about this? How about this? Ooh, you can do that. I never thought of that. Yeah. We've had other people, Roger from the Digital Marketing Center, he talks about, let's say you're a restaurant and you're trying to schedule all these part-time people. How many hours do you sit and do that? The robot can do it a lot quicker than you can here. Analyzing your data, analyzing your finances, writing your copy, on and on. I hear these things. I say, yeah, I spend too many hours doing that stuff. You mean a robot can do that for me? Yeah, and more. So I'll tell you, that's what makes me a sigh of relief. I don't have to figure it all out. You did, and you'll help me. So how do they reach you if they want to reach Michelle Chuan? Let's spell your name first here so everybody can find you.
Yeah, Michelle with two L's, and my last name is spelled C-H-U-A-N-G, and I can be found at the Cal State Fullerton SBDC Center.
So the small business development centers are all over the place. There's 6 or 8 of them or whatever there are here in Southern California, plus all these specialty centers, and you're at the Cal State one. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. Do they contact the SVDC and then say, I need some help with marketing and or AI, and then they'll refer you to you? Or is there a way they can go straight to just to the center?
I have many colleagues that are very well-versed in the subject of marketing or AI, and we have an abundance of talent here at the SBDC Center. So they can call into the SBDC Center. If they would like to speak to me directly, they can also ask for me specifically, but any one of our consultants would be able to provide the free consultation, and then also with our goal in truly supporting our small business community.
And again, doesn't cost anything, folks. Why? Because the government's funding this. The government wants you to adopt this stuff. They want to see small businesses grow. Left and center, every politician in America wants to see small business development. And this is a way then they fund it through the SBA and the state and all these things. They provide resources like Michelle to you guys for free. Why not take advantage of it? Why try and figure it out yourself, or why just throw it away and say, forget it, I can't do that? You're missing a giant tool that will help you save money, that will help you save time, and will help you make more money. And if you don't do it, I'll bet your competitor's going to do it.
So Very true, Paul.
Think about that for a second here. If you really decide, this isn't for me, then that's like the guys who wouldn't build a website for years. I don't need a website. Yeah. And where are they now? Out of business.
Right, exactly.
Or I don't need a computer. I'm not going to bank at an ATM. I'm not going to do all that stuff. Forget it. I'm going to do it the same way here. The same way leads to the same results. If you want to see something extraordinary, try what is, I think, a game changer for businesses, even small businesses. That's the message that doesn't get out. Small businesses can do this. I think it's really more of a game changer for them. Big businesses had the computing power and the brain power to do some of this. Now small businesses can do it. It's in the palm of your hand.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right.
Integrated marketing, for sure.
And that whole idea. Think about it. Go look that up. We should do a show on integrative marketing, because you say that so casually. Most people just, it's random marketing. Oh, I'll run an ad. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, I'll try this. That didn't work. Oh, I'll run a special in the store. Oh, that didn't work. I'll try this product. It's a lot of hit and miss. It's a lot of guesswork. Yeah. And it's not always consistent across all the things that you do, nor when they walk in. Are the people the same, whether it's your retail store or your dental shop? Is the experience that they walk in what they expected? Oh, I thought this was going to be something else based on the ad, based on the offer, based on something. I didn't know it was going to be this. And it's not, you're confusing them and you're losing them because it's not the same thing.
Yeah. We'll do another podcast on that.
I think that's a hot topic. I don't think people really understand how important it is to integrate all your marketing and to make it all say the same thing and do the same thing, not just they all have different messages and different audiences and different appearances and all that. All right, we've gone way past our normal time here. Thank you so much. I can see we could talk a lot more. Michelle Chuang, thank you for joining us and sharing all your big brand marketing experience with us through the free SBDC centers, like the one at Cal State Fullerton, where you park your hat once in a while. Thanks for joining us on this episode here.
Thank you, Paul.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.